pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, the ancient words that you have given us to love and obey are ever true. And I pray that right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that those ancient words would impart to us knowledge and help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Colossians. This is our third sermon from the book of Colossians. I've had to clip two verses off of the 9 to 14. It's actually 9 to 12. Sometimes when you get working through a passage, you just can't squeeze it all in. And some have told me to preach one sermon per week instead of two, so I've decided to do that this morning. And we're in Colossians chapter 1, reading verses 9 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. And we are asking that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in light. In the first couple verses of this chapter, we talked about the clash of good and evil, and in a historical account of this book, we looked at all of the challenges that the Colossians faced, and we said that it was okay to wrestle as you press on. We said that we should work boldly within the will of God because Paul said, look, I'm an apostle by the will of God. That's why I can say these things. We also said from verse 2 that there is no peace without grace. And last week we said that Paul talked a lot in that next section of verses about the gospel in action. He was so thankful to God that the gospel had made it to them and was working in their lives. And he told them, and I told you as I pass along the scriptural words, that we should live the gospel through faith and love. That's what it looks like. That's the gospel in action. We said last week that we are able to love because we have a hope in heaven. Apart from that anchor to hang our hope on, that anchor in heaven, we would have difficulty having the strength to love as we ought. And then we said that we should bear the fruit of the gospel, and Paul said it's bearing fruit all over the world, and it should bear fruit in our lives as well. As a matter of fact, Paul told them that the gospel has been bearing fruit in your lives since you heard it from the beginning. And today Paul expands on that. He says, for this reason I have not stopped praying for you. For what reason? For the reason that the gospel is bearing fruit. The gospel's bearing fruit all over the place, and you've heard about it, and I'm so happy about that. And for this reason, in verse 9, I keep on praying for you. And we are asking that what? That you might be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. It seems as if this is one of the ways that the fruit of the gospel works itself out in our lives. Paul's thankful for the gospel work. Most of you are here today because of the work of the gospel in your lives. You've heard the gospel, you've received it, you believe it, you love it, you want to understand it and learn it more so that you can live it. So that you can understand it and live it. And so Paul says, because of this, I haven't stopped praying for you that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will or the knowledge of God. And so the question this morning is, what's the knowledge of God and its fruit and how do we get it? Well, the answer is in the Word of God. By the way, Paul talks like this a lot. He says in Philippians, he says, and I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment. I want you to grow in knowledge. In Ephesians, he says, I pray the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Paul constantly prays for those he's teaching and leading to be filled with the knowledge of God. I pray that for myself. I pray that for you. When I think about the next sermon, I pray that God would fill me with the knowledge of His Word so that He could fill His people with the knowledge of God, because that's how we work out the gospel in our lives, by understanding it and living it. So the question might be, how do I get the knowledge of God? And I decided to illustrate that this morning. And so I brought a jar with me of corn. Now, you, most of you know that I like corn. I brought a jar of corn, and this, if you were to, is the kernels of truth. This is the truth right here, and this is the knowledge of God. This is the sower sowing the seed. Well, right here it is. I brought the seed with me, and then this is, well, not exactly all of us, but this is us right here. And we want to be filled with the knowledge of God. And so the question is, how do I get the knowledge of God into my life, into my mind? I'm not suggesting that we all have empty heads. It just works better like this. But how do we get it from there to there? And my answer would be, well, any way at all. And so one possibility is I could have a little spoon like this, and I could go over to my knowledge of God, and I could, I got one. And there's a little bit of the knowledge of God, and I just keep working one little scoop at a time, and maybe this little scoop is, maybe this is the person who hears the knowledge of God on the radio. They're driving down the road and they stumble across the radio station and it wasn't intentional, it maybe even was an accident, and they turn it on and before you know it, they're listening to that speaker or that person, and sure enough, the knowledge of God starts transferring. And then because of that, the person goes, wow, I like this knowledge of God. I want to learn more about God. And so they come to church and they come to church and they go to Sunday school, and in Sunday school they get a little bigger scoop. Because they're sitting around with other people who like the knowledge of God and who want to understand it. And so while that teacher talks about it, the knowledge of God just keeps making its way across. And the scoop is bigger now. Because not only is it just an accidental hearing, but it's intentional and you've received it and you're learning it. And we just keep scooping that across as we understand and learn more. And then maybe, in the coming to Christ, the person says, I want to be committed to Christ, and I want to be a part of that Sunday school class, and I want to be a part of Dale Mendelco's men's discipleship ministry, and I want to be a part of the worship services, and I want to learn, and I want to learn that verse and put that in my mind. And when you lock the truth away in your mind, you get an even bigger scoop yet, because it's with you all the time, and then your scoop gets bigger, and the knowledge of God continues. I can get it in there. Continues to transfer as we continue that. And so the answer is the knowledge of God is a continual process, and the tools that the church provides that God has given us get a bigger and bigger scoop as we transfer that knowledge of God into our minds and we become filled with it. And it occurred to me as I was thinking about this illustration that at some point in time, all of this knowledge of God begins to come together in your minds. And we have a word that we call systematic theology. And you begin to realize that everything in the world comes together. And that God created all things and He's there. And the nature and the creation and the trees scream His handiwork. And it's because He loves us. And because He loves us, He saves us. And one day it all comes together for you and you put it together. And I call that systematic theology. When it all makes sense and it's all together and you've learned it and you've got the Scriptures and the grace and the peace and the knowledge and all that comes together. And beloved, it is so much easier to transfer the knowledge of God as you collect it and put it together through memory and study and learning and discipleship. And that is what I long for us. I long for us to have the knowledge of God so that we can share it and teach it and learn it and love it. And there's just a couple things that Paul tells us about the knowledge of God this morning. I think because he prays that we should have it, we could say the command is be filled with the knowledge of God. That's a command for the Christian. If you are a Christian and you don't want to be filled with the knowledge of God, if you don't care about the knowledge of God, if you don't pursue it, you have a problem. Because Christians hunger to know about God and learn more about Him and understand and put it all together. So first, be filled with the knowledge of God. The word here is pleroo and be filled. It's a very common word in the New Testament. It means to be totally filled up. If you were thinking of this figuratively, it would be the sails of a ship out of the ocean, totally full of wind and stretched to their limit. They are pleroo. If you were thinking of a room and you were to bring in your stereo in here, if you were to turn on your stereo with all of your speakers and you had really good ones and you cranked that volume up until every crack and corner of this room was full of that sound, that's pleroo. Every part of the room filled with the sound of that music. If it was a fragrance. It's not just the fragrance that I have on this morning. It is the fragrance that fills the entire room. It's the person who takes the triple size can of air freshener and walks over the whole entire room until the entire auditorium is permeated with a smell. That is pleroo. And the Word of God says we are to be pleroo, filled with the knowledge of God. Every crack, every corner. It always thrills my soul when I go to someone's house, and my grandmother's house especially comes to mind, because there are scripture verses hanging on her walls, and they're taped on the covers of books, and they're in her car. They're everywhere because she's filled with the knowledge of God. And if you talk to her, it won't take 5 minutes, and she will tell you at 78 or 79 years of age, she'll tell you how thankful she is to God and how good God has been to her. She's filled with the knowledge of God. It leaks out of her. In Acts 5:28, the apostles were chastised because they said, "You apostles, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." Oh, that we might be like that. Might our conversations, our thinking, our thoughts, our actions, our workspace, our car space, our church space, our Sunday school classes, I beg and plead that they would be filled with the knowledge of God, that every crack and cranny would be filled with that which honors God. So we should be filled full with the knowledge of God. Some have debated the word knowledge here, and knowledge is a very common word in the New Testament. It's the word gnosko. It's just to know. It's to know things, and the word gnosko in this verse here has a preposition in front of it, and it's epigenosko, which is not very common. And some have said, well, this is an intense knowledge. And I think not. I think that all epi means in this word for knowledge is just to go in that direction. And so the Apostle Paul says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God. Go in that direction. Work in that direction. Work that way. You memorize things for school. You memorize things for tests. You memorize history dates. You memorize the names of people that did major battles or wars. You memorize formulas for chemistry. You memorize the elements tables. And you should memorize the Word of God because it fills you with the knowledge of God. Now, there's two things that Paul says. He says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And these tie together. And the way the Greek's actually written here, it says, I want you to be filled with wisdom and understanding spiritually. So that when I put these points down, I put, be filled with spiritual wisdom and be filled with spiritual understanding. That's what Paul prays for. We should be filled with spiritual wisdom. You remember a couple weeks ago I talked about collection and distribution? And I talked about memorizing Scripture as collection, and you collect it in your heads and you lock it up and you memorize it. Well, this being filled with spiritual wisdom is the collection. I want to understand. I want to learn. I read it and I ask questions. For this reason then, I haven't stopped. Oh, for what reason? Well, I go back and I read. Well, Paul's thankful for the gospel. And so for this reason, because the gospel's working, I haven't stopped praying. It helps me. And I haven't stopped praying since we heard about this. And we're asking. Oh, Paul's asking something. What's he asking for? He's asking that they might be filled with the knowledge of God. Oh, that sounds like a good thing. And so we ask questions and we look at the text and it fills us with knowledge. And we say, well, I wonder what that means right there. What does that knowledge mean? And so I look that word up and I look up wisdom. And when I look up wisdom, I find the word sophos, which reminds you of sophomore, doesn't it? Sophomore comes from sophos and moron, which means wise fool, right? But that's the Greek word for wisdom, is sophos. And so I look at that and I say that the wisdom of God then, Paul prays for us to be filled with the wisdom of God because the wisdom of God should be the rule of knowledge. As I understand God and my Creator and that which He created, I understand my spiritual walk. We should be filled with the knowledge of God in all spiritual wisdom. That's the collection. If one simply desires to know those things which it has pleased God to reveal, that is the man who accurately knows what it is to be wise. If we know those things which God has been pleased to reveal to us, that is the man who is wise. Learn what God has revealed. God's revelation to us is the book, the Bible that we read. That's it. That's what it is. Now, He shows Himself in creation, and the creation screams His handiwork, and there's a knowledge of God seen in the world around us, but God has revealed Himself to us in the Word. And we must connect with the Word of God to understand and learn about God. Paul also prays that we would have spiritual understanding. You know what understanding is? Understanding is knowledge at work. Right? I learn things. I understand it. And I understand that here's how I'm made and here's how God works in my life and here's the principles of Scripture. And as I understand that, I'm able to put that to work. And so when I have a conversation and I realize that my words were unkind, I understand that's wrong and that God wants me to be loving. And so I seek to restore the relationship because I understand the principles of the Word of God. In the church, we should pray, and we should read our Bibles in our services, and we should understand and teach the Word of God, because knowledge comes that way. And when I understand that, I use the Scripture as my text and not just a fun story. I use the Scripture and I teach it and explain it so we understand it. Understand here comes from the word suneseo, which is prudence or sound judgment. Not rash, but careful, sound judgment. And this is that which proceeds from wisdom. John Calvin wrote that this is the wisdom and understanding that God grants to His own. Do you believe that as you seek and follow God and learn the Scriptures and understand the Word, that God gives you special discernment and special knowledge? Not special like select for you alone, but as you understand it, your knowledge and understanding for everything gets better? I believe that's true. As we understand Scripture, it becomes the rule of our faith and practice. God gives us understanding to live out our lives as we ought. How? By studying it. Some years ago, I taught on the spiritual disciplines, and according to Richard Foster, in the spiritual disciplines, one of them is study. It's a good discipline to study, study the Word of God. And when I taught that, I defined study as in setting a course to move in a particular direction. Really simple definition. To set a course to move in a particular direction. If I want to learn to play the piano, I move in that direction. I get a book. I find a piano, I put my fingers on the keys, I try to put the note to my finger, I try to get better at that, I take lessons, I move in that direction. When I got into the building business, I had a fire that burned the building I was raising hogs in. I thought, man, I really want to build. And so I began to study buildings. And I remember the vacations that we went on that I would climb around buildings that were under construction, looking at how they put the corners together and how they put the sill plates on the all the boards and all that, and the edge plate and the studs and the corners and all that. And I began to study that and move in that direction. And then I began to do little projects in the barn that I had that remained. And I began to learn, and I was moving in that direction as I studied the industry that I wanted to be a part of. And years down the road, I was a builder because I moved in that direction because I studied. And if you want to study the Word of God, you set a course to move in that direction. What do you fill your mind with? What do you fill your time with? What direction are you moving in? Paul prays that we would be full of the knowledge of God in wisdom and in understanding, knowing what the knowledge of God is and then knowing how to understand and apply it. And then he says, so that, light goes on, so that what? Paul wants us to be filled with the knowledge of God, with wisdom and understanding, so that, and I say, what? Tell me. And I keep reading. So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. And so it goes. And the first thing Paul says, number one, so that you would walk worthy of the Lord. By the way, there's five things that Paul says here. He says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God in understanding and wisdom so that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number one is so that we could walk worthy of the Lord. That phrase only appears in the New Testament like that 6 times. And we might wrestle with that. What's it mean to be walking worthy of the Lord? Does that mean that I make my life such that God looks at me and goes, okay, yeah, there's Bob, he's worth it. And well, there's Kevin, and he's worth it. And there's Angie, and she's worth it. Okay, they're walking worthy of the Lord. They can come with me. It doesn't mean that at all. We know that it can't mean that, because we know that apart from God, there's none who does right, no, not one. When Paul says he wants us to walk worthy of the Lord, he means not for us to earn it, but to walk in a way that is appropriate for that which we understand. Not to earn it. It's not so much that you're worth it to God, but that your actions fit the great and glorious God that you say you serve. That is what it means to walk worthy. And so if someone has a bitter or a sharp or a hurting tongue, we say, well, that's not worthy of the knowledge of God that we've understood. Let me help you work with that. Let's pray about that. Let's repent from that. Let's turn from our wickedness. Or the way that you dress is not appropriate because it sends wrong thoughts to people, and that's not appropriate. And so to walk worthy of the gospel, to walk worthy of the Lord, is to align ourselves up with that which pleases Him, that which models, that which fits the great and glorious gospel that we've heard from God. You know what else it means to walk worthy of the Lord? The next phrase says that you could walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. What pleases God? Do you know? What pleases God? Faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So therefore, with faith one pleases God. So when we walk worthy of the Lord so that we please Him, we have faith. It takes a lot of faith sometimes to apply the principles that we learn when we study the Word of God. Oh my, if I apply that principle, I'll never be happy. That's impossible. I will lock myself into a lifestyle or a long-term disappointment. And God says, have the faith to trust and believe in me. My words are right. My words are true. When we walk worthy of the Lord, we have the faith it takes to apply that which we learn. Secondly, Paul says, I want you to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. When you have the knowledge of God in your life, when you transfer that knowledge from the Scriptures into your mind, into your life, you produce good works. We defined this some weeks ago here on a Sunday evening drill session. We said that a good work is God's pre-planned manifestation of His glory and grace through the loving, beneficial, valuable, useful, beautiful, reputable acts of a Christian which spring from the fountain of personal holiness and a knowledge of Scripture. The good works that you do in your life are God's pre-planned manifestations of His glory. Ephesians 2:10 says that we would do those works that God has planned for us to do. God has planned good works in your life. As you understand Scripture and drink it in and learn it and apply the wisdom and understand it, the way that you respond to it and act it out, you begin to perform in your life those good works that God has pre-planned for you to do. It's a pre-planned manifestation of God's glory. We do those works because it brings God glory and not us. Produce good works. Thirdly, Paul says, I want you to increase in knowledge. And I read that and I'm like, oh, he repeated himself. Then I thought, no, he didn't necessarily. He prayed that they would be full of knowledge. Their sails would be stretched. The fragrance would be everywhere. The sound would permeate the building. He prayed that they would be full of the knowledge of God. And then he says that you walk worthy, produce good works, and increase in knowledge. And I think there's a difference in not just being full, but to increase. And it occurred to me as I read this, nobody is ever done with the knowledge of God. I don't care how old you are, how many Sunday school classes you've taught, how many books you've read, how many commentaries you've written. You are never completely and totally full of the knowledge of God. You can always learn more. No one is ever done. The greatest Bible teachers that I have personally ever known have never quit their quest to understand and apply the knowledge of God. Nobody can just kick back and say, I'm done, I have it all. Not possible. And so Paul says part of that filling of the knowledge of God with understanding and wisdom is to ever be increasing, and we should as well. And then Paul says, I want you to bear the fruit of the knowledge of God in strength for patience and long-suffering. According to His glorious might, may you be strengthened for endurance and patience. Oh, we need that, don't we? All of us face many challenges in life. This breaks down in two ways. It says endurance and patience. Endurance comes from the word hupomene. And hupomene is two words put together. It's under and to remain. So patience is to remain under, to stay put, to stand when you don't want to. I mean, patience by definition is something that's difficult. It's something that you have to have strength for. And so Paul says, I want you to have patience. I want you to stand up under those things that are challenging. Hupomene usually refers to events and circumstances, that we would have patience, that we would stand under those things that are difficult patiently. And long-suffering comes from macrothumia. Macro, where we get big or long or wide, and thumia, where we get thermos, which means angry or heat in a thermos, and it means long, a long time to get angry, long-suffering. And it refers to not our relationship to events and circumstances, but it refers to our relationship with people. And so Paul says, I want you to be patient with your circumstances. And I know they're hard. And I know it's difficult. And I know you want release. And yes, it's okay. Pray for healing. But maybe it won't come right now because you need to be patient to bear and endure that which you're under. And then he says, I want you to have long suffering as well. I want you to be patient with the people around you. I want you to have a very, very, very long fuse. I want you to have a long, long journey before you get angry. Macrothumia, a long way before you get hot or heated or angry. Paul knows that takes strength. And he says the wisdom of God in His will that comes through wisdom and understanding gives us that strength for that long suffering. And lastly, Paul says, giving thanks to the Father for all things. You know, when you put it all together, this is the benchmark of the Christian. I think I say this about every other week. But one of the benchmarks of Christianity is that we give thanks for all things. We are pressed and beaten down, and we thank God for His work in our life. And God is kind to us and smiles on us and takes away our trials for a while. And we thank God for that as well. And Paul says, in all of this, be filled with the knowledge of God. Permeate every crack of your mind and do the good works and walk faithfully and study and learn and thank God for all things. Thank Him if you have to be patient under circumstances, and thank Him if you are learning to be patient towards people. Thank God for that. We are thankful for all things because why? Because God has enabled us to share in the inheritance of the light. God has enabled us to share in the saints' inheritance in light. And we'll look at that more next week, how God has enabled us to share in that inheritance. But we give thanks to the Father because He enables us to share. He enables us. I read that and I remembered back to a time when I met a very prominent figure in Christian counseling, and I went to a conference with a friend of mine, and he knew this person personally. And I had supper with the president of this organization who led the conference, who is a distinguished speaker, and I remember sitting there thinking, I can't believe this. I'm sitting here with this friend of mine who knows this guy, and I'm talking with so-and-so, and I was trying to be real quiet and not say anything because I didn't want to say anything foolish, you know, and I was just enjoying this, and I'm thinking, wow, I was able to meet this renowned person. And I thought of this, God enables us to share in that because we know the King of Kings, and Christ came and redeems us and makes us His own, and we share in that inheritance of light. What a gift, what a blessing to share and partake in that. We barely begin to grasp the significance of the fact that we have been made a friend of God. Isn't that remarkable? That makes me thankful, and Paul says it should for us as well. My question for you this morning is, what is keeping you from being filled with the knowledge of God? What keeps you from being filled with the knowledge of God? Is it carelessness? Is it a lackadaisical attitude towards the things of God or towards the church or towards those places where you can learn? Are you too full of everything else? There's no room for it? Do you have no time? Is it because nobody ever told you that you should be? Well, I'm telling you, you should be filled with the knowledge of God like the wind fills the sails of a mighty ship. Beloved, commit in your hearts before God to pursue His knowledge and understand and His wisdom. Remove from your life those barriers that you might have that would keep you from learning and understanding and loving the God that we serve. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray often as I pray now that You would fill Your people with a knowledge of God. Father, may the knowledge of You permeate every part of our being and help us to live as we ought. And may we have the fruits that come as a result of that in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul's going to lead us in a closing song, and we have a time that we call an invitation. If there's any decision that you want to make, if you even just want to pray up here, come and talk to me or pray alone before God. If you'd like to join our church, this is one of the ways that you can do it. You can come and talk to me right now. Paul, lead us in a song. Thank you.